Saddle up your horses.
Welcome to Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter. This is the program that proclaims liberty to the captives of our beloved nation, where truth trumps political correctness, where the uncompromised Word of God exposes the works of darkness and sets free those held hostage behind the iron curtain of a shamelessly biased media. For God has called us to stand for truth, and having done all to stand, we will stand. It's time to fight the good fight of faith to preserve our country, our families, fortunes, and sacred honor, to protect our property, our schools, and yes, maybe even salvage some of our churches. America, we have a trail to blaze. It's time to saddle up. It's time to ride. Now, here is your host of Red Sky Radio, Rob Walter.
Well, hello, America, and welcome, world, to Red Sky Radio, where we ride hard for the brand. The brand is Jesus Christ. We know what? We're not going to have any introduction today other than just to let you know, if you want to reach me, you can do so at info@redskyradio.net, info@redskyradio.net. I do not do Twitter. Can't reach me on Twitter. I do not do Facebook, because we know that both of them are becoming increasingly Christophobic, increasingly bibliophobic, and I am not going to yield to their control over what I have to say and not say, and have them call hate speech that which is just essentially the Word of God. So, sorry about that. If you're looking for me on Facebook and Twitter, I don't plan to ever have it. I'm going to stick with those forms of communication whereby I can be reasonably assured I will hear from you. Okay, let's get rolling here. Today, I just want to start with something that was, I sort of knew this was coming. I'm an attorney in the state of California and state of Michigan, and I'm looking to maybe transfer that to some other states. But in California, you have a continuing legal education requirement. You have to earn 25 hours of continuing ed every 3 years to renew your license. So I was up for renewal. And so I paid my money, which is now over $500 a year. But there was something that was different this year. There was a survey attached to the renewal of your license. Now, they did indicate that the survey was just a demographic survey. They said we'd like everybody to do it, sort of like we, you know, strongly suggest. So it's not mandatory, but if you know it's good for you, you'll do it. I don't know how many questions there were, 10, 11, 12. I never got to the end. I refused and found a way to pay my dues without completing the survey. I wanted to just give you a sample of how sick, sad, and sorry the state of California is. And I mean, and it's just getting worse. I mean, there's cities as large as Santa Barbara. There's Santa Barbara County, which is over 500,000 people, does not have a Christian bookstore anymore. And people will say, well, that's because of Amazon and blah, blah, blah. Well, that's right. I buy as little as I can from Amazon because I don't want to feed the beast. I use them when I have to. But if I have an alternative, I always use the alternative. But the fact of the matter is there are other bookstores that are still going in Santa Barbara County. There are others. There's no Christian bookstores. So you can say, well, Amazon's killed the market. Well, it hasn't. Not, no, it hasn't. There's just a declining Christian influence as the intimidation of the godless left becomes more and more pervasive. And I'm going to give you an example of apparently a state bar. Yeah, I had to go pay my bar tab, you know, the $500. And a $500 bar tab with the State Bar of California here. But I'm going to give you the first three questions on the survey, and this will give you a sense of the tenor of the state, which is trying to impose its debauchery on all other states. And for every state time California comes out and says, we are no longer going to support government employees going to the state of Kentucky because they're anti-choice. Yeah, right. What choice does a kid who's slaughtered in the womb have? Or this, that. When are people going to start boycotting San Francisco and boycotting L.A. and boycotting San Diego and boycotting the rest of California? If they want to suck, let them suck. I can pray for them, but I don't need to energize their economy. And people, and I finally heard one just the other day, an organization that went to check out California for a big convention and decided, no, forget that. We aren't going there. But they need to be public about it. So here are the first three questions. On your state bar of California questionnaire. Okay. What's your ethnicity? Okay. All right. I put down white, but you know, that's it. There's Caucasian's not even an option anymore. Maybe most lawyers don't even know what Caucasian means. Here's question number two. Because we sure want to know all about you, and I have to assume that these questions are in the order of importance. What is your gender? Here is the choice. Male, female. No. You thought it ended there? Come on, silly rabbit. You thought it ended there? No, of course not. These are your choices. The State Bar of California throws out to you. Male, female, transgender. Number four, gender variant or non-conforming or non-binary. Number five, two-spirit, T-W-O, spirit. What the heck does that mean? Two-spirit. Well, apparently, is it somebody who's conflicted by the spirit of God and the spirit of the enemy? Or is it just somebody that has two demons instead of one? And then number six is not listed. Please specify. So if you're not male, you're not female, you're not tranny, you're not gender variant, you're not non-conforming, you're not non-binary, and you're not two-spirit, they give you a choice to pick out another gender. Like I said, God made them a male and female. All the other genders were created by Democrats. You know the old Kris Kristofferson song, Moms Don't Let Your Babies Grow Up to Be Cowboys? He needs to redo that song, though he doesn't have the guts to do it, I'm sure. Maybe he's not even alive anymore. I have no idea. Mama, don't let your babies grow up to be Democrats. Question number three. What is your sexual orientation? What is your sexual orientation? These are your choices. It's not homo. It's not queer or straight. It's number one on the list. Lesbian or gay? That's number one. Number two isn't heterosexual. It's bisexual. The person who's really screwed up. Number three is heterosexual. Heterosexual. That which makes up 97% of the population is number three on the list. Number four is pansexual. I don't know. What does that mean? You'll sleep with anybody and everybody? Number five is asexual, and I don't think they're talking about eunuchs here. And guess what number six is? Not listed, please specify. You have a sexual orientation other than lesbian, gay, bisexual, heterosexual, pansexual, or asexual. I guess that's where you put in pedophile, or you put in bestiality, or some other sick, debauched behavior that now seems to glorify, dominate, and identify the Democrats as Democrats. At that point, I said, forget you, California survey. I got out of that. I found another way to pay my bar dues. And you know, isn't it a shame that the legal profession is now become embarrassment, has become an embarrassment to the legal profession? The legal profession in California has become an embarrassment to the legal profession. I don't know. Okay. Now, obviously, the topic of the week is the impeachment, which it has been and which I have avoided. As you know, I found other things more worthy to talk about than this super sanctimonious saga by a bunch of sick, sorry, and sad Democrats who can't get over having lost the campaign against Trump. And who was and I can't think of her name, Braun, B-R-A-U-N, a woman in California. Of course, she's a Democrat. And who said that even if Trump wins in 2020, they're going to continue impeachment proceedings. This is the level of stupidity, anger, and immorality that has become the defining characteristics of Democrats. They are so sick, they are so lost, they're so depraved and deprived of a decent education and common sense, that they're fully functioning 100% of the time on their energy of a reprobate mind. If you keep listening, I'm going to tell you how I really feel about them. But I want to cover this thing dealing with Nancy Pelosi. But this other, I mean, go back to this bra in just a second. I didn't actually finish my comment here. To say that you're going to continue to impeach him, it tells me that what they're going to do is we're going to continue to come after this guy and we will make up whatever we have to make up to try to impeach him. They don't have anything. If they had something, it would be there now. Was it the quid pro quo? No. Was it the bribery? No. None of those things sell. They're out taking polls of people to determine how to frame the impeachment filings to be most receptive to the most people. It has nothing to do with what Trump has done, because he's done a lot of great things. Our defense system has never been stronger. We've never negotiated better treaties. NAFTA is out. We're sticking it to China where it needs to be stuck to. North Korea has been brought into a certain... Trump is the greatest president of all modern time. Any question about it. There isn't even a close second. If you could just skip through second, you get down to third, which was Ronald Reagan. He was great for his time. He's just not the man for now. Nor was Trump the guy for then. Each person appointed according to their time. That's a biblical perspective. Each has come to this point in time for this moment, just such as this, as Mordecai said to his beloved Esther. So they don't have anything. And so for Braun to say this, she's admitting we're going to just make it up. How long can so many people be so stupid or ignorant in the United States and just say, I don't want to pay any attention to this. I don't want to pay any attention to this. For some person to say, I don't want to pay any attention to what's going on. I don't want to listen to the news. I don't really care anymore. Why don't you just ignore the results from your physical, from your doctor? Why don't you just ignore your bank accounts? Why don't you just ignore anything, your paycheck, anything and everything that means something in life, just ignore it and just go on their foolish way. For somebody to say this is not only unbiblical, it's unbiblical to a degree that almost has me questioning their salvation. Now, not because apathy is by itself a sin. No, that would not be true. I don't think. It might be. To say you don't care anything about what's going on is to say you don't care about queer marriage, you don't care about abortion, you don't care about kids being indoctrinated in schools. How could you square that perspective of not giving a rip about what's going on with how highly Jesus exalted the Good Samaritan for paying attention to, showing love, kindness, and generosity to somebody he didn't even know, and making sure he was cared for and that there was money to provide for him. Compare that to, I don't care about anything or practically anybody. Because when you say you don't care about abortion, you know, what do you say? You don't care about 62 million children destroyed in the womb. You don't care about, that what's being taught your daughter, son, granddaughter, grandson in school is from the pit of hell. Which tells me if you don't care about what's being taught, you don't care about who's being taught. You don't care about your grandchildren or your children. So I'm actually really very close to saying, what kind of witness does this person have? He's useless. He's salt that would be trodden down underneath the foot of the soldiers of the left. He's not part of the way. He's in the way. Flee from those individuals. Okay. Now, to the impeachment proceeding. I am going to read a piece, or at least excerpts, from a piece by John Nolte of Breitbart, who says it better than I can say it. And like I said, I give credit where credit is due. And if somebody says it better than I can say it, I'm going to quote them, which I will do right after this break. And I can't believe we are to the first break. Don't go away. Rob Walter, Red Sky Radio.
Well, hey, how are you? Welcome to Red Sky Radio. I am the tech guy, and consider this a PSA. I want to quickly tell you how you can get all the episodes. You can go to darkskyradio.com, Once you get there, go towards the right. You'll see on the menu page a Red Sky Radio tab. Click on that tab, and voila, there you are. There's a media player. You can go through and listen to all the past episodes. You can go through and download all the past episodes. If you scroll down to the bottom of the page, what you'll find is a Google Play button. You can click on that and subscribe to this radio show via Google Play, or to the left, you can go to iTunes, and that button there will take you to a new page, the Podomatic page. You can subscribe right there and listen. You can scroll down on that page to the right and find the iTunes subscribe button. Thank you so much for listening to Red Sky Radio.
We are back. This is Rob Walter, Red Sky Radio. I wanted to quote liberally from John Nolte in a piece in Breitbart, entitled, Nancy Pelosi's Article 2 Impeachment Rationale is Exposed as a Hoax. And what I like about this piece is that he has the full quote of Nancy Pelosi, and he has the full quote of Donald Trump, for which Nancy Pelosi butchered it, took it out of context, put it into a video, and it has all the Democrats foaming at the mouth. But you know what? Actually, they just sort of foam at the mouth on a regular basis, so maybe that's nothing new. Mr. Nolte says, and I quote, Nancy Pelosi is going to impeach Donald Trump, the duly elected president of the United States, based upon what we now know as a hoax. Because there are no witnesses to anything else close to any kind of presidential wrongdoing, and no, sorry, but a mob of smug and bitter bureaucrats, even in full dress uniform, do not count as witnesses, because there is no actual evidence of anything close to any kind of presidential wrongdoing. Okay. Because Democrats have exactly squat to impeach Trump with, Pelosi has been reduced to inventing a hoax, to planting evidence, and to lying like a rug in the hope that no one notices. And this is what Nancy Pelosi said, quote, and I'm quoting Pelosi, the president's actions have seriously violated the Constitution, especially when he says and acts upon the belief that Article 2 says, I can do whatever I want. No, his wrongdoing strikes at the very heart of our Constitution, a separation of powers, three co-equal branches, each a check and balance on the other. Okay. That's the end of the quote of her quote. Did Trump say that? Yes, he did. But we're going to quote the context, which Nancy Pelosi absolutely ignores. Is she evil or is she stupid? She could be both. She could be what I like to call the moronic demonic, the person that is dumb and evil at the same time. You sort of sometimes, where is she sometimes when she's sort of been AWOL some of the time? So she's just somewhere drunk? Is she off somewhere in a line waiting for a brain donor with Maxine Waters right behind her? I don't know. No, I'm back to the quote of Mr. Nolte. So, it's not the poll-tested bribery charges anymore. I just need to stop there. See, they poll-tested whether the bribery charge would stick, and it didn't stick with the polls. Nobody even knew what the bribery was because there isn't any. So they'd have to make it up, even though they just made up the charge. They would have to make up the alleged facts to support the charge, which there weren't any, and so poll tested it flopped. So they had to change. Now I'm back to the quote. It's not the quid pro quo anymore, because there can be no quid pro quo when the Ukraine didn't know that it was supposed to quid, to pro, or to quo. I like that, Mr. Nolte. He continues, it's not the obstruction of justice anymore. It's not the obstruction of Congress anymore, whatever the heck that is made up of. It's not a mean but accurate tweet anymore. No, this week it's, and these are Nancy's own words, the president said Article 2 says I can do whatever I want. end quote. Now, I need to stop the quote and interject here for a moment. This is what they're going on, that he made this comment. And she said that, I can do whatever I want. Now, let's look at the quote. This is the full quote of President Trump. Quote, look, Article 2, I would be allowed to fire Robert Mueller. Assuming I did all of the other things, I said that I want to fire him. Number one, I didn't fire him. He wasn't fired. Very importantly, and more importantly, Article 2 allows me to do whatever I want. Article 2, see where that fits in there? Allows me to do whatever I want. Article 2 would allow me to fire him. I wasn't going to fire him. And you know why? Because I watched Richard Nixon firing everybody, and that didn't work out too well. End of quote. So you see what happened is that Trump was speaking about what he can do with executive personnel under Article 2. I can do whatever I want. I can fire Mueller, and I could fire these other people, but I'm not going to do that. And I didn't do that. I know I can do whatever I want with these guys. I can fire them. But that's not what she did. Back to Nolte's quote here. Even during the sham impeachment hearings, Nancy's lying Democrats selectively edited video of Trump again talking about Article 2 in the exact same context. And it's a lie. The very foundation of the impeachment is a lie fabricated from either a quote deliberately taken out of context or rigged video. Nancy and her henchmen are fabricating evidence to justify a coup. Trump never, ever, ever, ever said Article 2 allows him to do whatever he wants. He was quite obviously talking about a very specific thing about firing Robert Mueller, and he was exactly correct on that point. So Nancy is lying. Nancy Dirty Cop Pelosi is standing before America, flat out lying, framing a sitting president for a crime he did not commit, and the fake news media are playing right along. Impeaching Trump for saying Article 2 allows me to do whatever I want, when he was specifically and accurately referring to one very specific thing, is a frame job. It's called a hoax. But because they have nothing else, because a chest full of ribbons and jokes about Barron Trump and bitterness and hate and frustration are not evidence, Nancy's been reduced to simply straight up lying. End quote from Mr. Nolte. Thank you, Mr. Nolte. You said it so well, so concisely. It framed the thing exactly. I hope next 2020 is such a stinking blowout of whoever is out there, whoever they want to throw up. And actually, I use the word throw up in multiple contexts because that's what every single Democrat candidate makes me want to do. I don't know why I'm covering this piece, but I'm going to anyway. Came out here a few days ago about how Americans are struggling now with climate anxiety because of apocalyptic warming predictions. And I'm thinking, are you serious? People going to a shrink for something that doesn't even exist? And if it did exist, let's look at this. Global warming, actually, if it does exist, the people in the northern part of the Sahara are thankful for global warming because it's caused the ocean to be warmer, they think, and that has actually brought rain to parts of the Sahara that have been parched and haven't produced a crop forever. If, in fact, it is happening, it's expanding the arable, growable land farther north to support a growing world population. But doing a lot of, if it's true, it's doing a lot of great things. But it says here in this piece by Emily Zanotti, she says, quote, the anxiety seems stems from climate activists' latest claims that the world as we know it will likely end in just over a decade unless a massive international effort is undertaken to halt the effects of carbon emissions. And I want to, continuing this quote here, for Lisa Van Susteren, a Washington-based psychiatrist who's been studying the mental health impacts of climate change for 15 years, refusal to recognize the potential hazards is common now for people who are trying to deny that they too are vulnerable. So I actually have no hesitation This is a Washington-based shrink. I'm not big on shrinks. I'm sorry. I just am not. I suppose they have their role, but if they're based in Washington, that's further suspicion. I actually have no hesitation in saying that on some level, I believe that everyone now has some climate anxiety, end quote, Lisa Van Susteren. Lisa, you're wrong. I have no climate anxiety whatsoever. I grew up in Michigan praying for global warming. Hopes were dashed. It didn't occur. I went to the Southwest. But I have no anxiety. I am at complete and perfect peace. And I want to tell you, Lisa, baby, why I'm at complete and perfect peace. Because in multiple places, four that I know of so far, in Scripture, it makes clear that God is in exclusive control of the climate. Things do not happen because of man. Things happen because of God. The references to pestilence or to drought, which they say is a feature of global warming, and famine, a feature of global warming. Not every single time in Scripture is it a reference to judgment. No, it's only about 80% of the time that when there's famine, there's drought, there's parched land, there's pestilence, God is bringing a judgment. And guess who he's bringing it against? Just the bad people? No. The people who used to be good people and now stick their fist in the face of God and flip God the middle finger of diplomacy. That's when he does it. It's very clear. But those aren't the four passages. There are just four passages that make it clear that we're going to have seasons, that the waters will not rise any higher than what God allows. They're assigned and in control and ordained by God. So the peace I draw from Scripture will always dwarf any rattling of my cage, if you will, by the secularists, the God-haters. Look, why would you believe people who are pro-abortion, pro-queer marriage, anti-Second Amendment, think that you should get rid of the First Amendment as it relates to Christians? Why would you believe something from people with whom you disagree with on every other significant issue in life? Why? Why, when somebody gets 95% of life wrong, do you give them credit for something that's unverifiable? It's not empirically established. Why would you give them credit for that other 5%? I just conclude that they're totally screwed up and work backwards from there, but only with something that has evidence. So they continue. This article says, climate anxiety might not present itself as traditional anxiety. The American Psychological Association suggests that it could manifest as conflict avoidance, fatalism, fear, helplessness, and resignation. And it could coincide with an array of physical health impacts, such as asthma and allergies. End quote. So the American Society of Shrinks has said that your asthma or your hay fever might be connected to the fear and the anxiety that's rising within you for sucking up all the lies of the left as it deals with alleged global warming, which actually has not been occurring at all for quite a number of years now, but don't let the facts get in the way. Even though we are now at a point where we have over 100 well-established scientific papers on record indicating that CO2 does not have more than a negligible effect on climate. Not more than. So that means that there are over 100 professionals who get no airtime because they don't speak the right politically correct narrative. So they get fired from their positions at various places like the state of Washington, which is just increasingly screwed up anyway. But anyway, people don't get to hear the real news, as in truth. T-R-U-T-H, truth. That's the real news, right? The truth. Not all this other demagoguery coming from the left who uses global climate change and warming simply as a means to control every stinking part of our life, which is what the Democrats do, just like the devil himself. He wants control. Obamacare wasn't about health care, it was about control. Gun control isn't about vengeance. It's about gun violence. It's about control. All socialist communist countries need gun control to control the people. Everything the Democrats do is about controlling you. Understand that. But remember, he who the Son sets free is free indeed. Jesus came that we might be freed from not just our bondage of sin, but the bondage of world thinking. That's why it says in Romans 12:2, probably one of the most important passages in all of Scripture, to not be conformed to the world. Don't be conformed to what they're saying on CNN, MSNBC. Who gives a rip about what they're saying? That's just a bunch of crapola. Do not be conformed to the world, but transformed. Transformed through the renewing of your mind. And the fact that it says renewing means it's a constant process. You don't read the Bible 42 years ago or 3 years ago and trust that whatever you read is going to carry you through tomorrow while you sit there watching CNN, MSNBC, Rachel Maddow, and all the other leftist losers that populate the mainstream media. It's garbage in, garbage out, folks. That stuff will eventually paralyze you, polarize you, anesthetize you, and ultimately spiritually euthanize you. So, global warming? Yeah. Just kind of lose it. I mean, this is just something that is just another tool of the left. Now, I was not going to touch on this piece until God gave me an insight on it. And wow, what an insight. I mean, not because I got it, but because God is God. And when he gives me an insight on something, it's a big deal, no matter how big or small it might seem. Just the fact that if God shows you something, it's a big deal. It's a big deal to you, right? It's a big deal to me. And I'm going to pass this on. Now, there are many, many pro-abortion organizations out there. But now a pro-abort group in Texas, and this is spreading, are making available candles for Christmas. Christmas candles. And they are designed to sort of replicate the elements used in Catholic prayer. But the candles say something quite unique. It says, abortions are magical. Abortions are magical. Can you believe the depth of this depravity? I mean, the only ones that should be killed in these situations would be the doctors who are executing innocent unborn lives. Yeah. I mean, I don't mean you kill them before they've had a fair trial. You have a fair trial, and then if you find that they've murdered somebody, you execute them. But this is what the revelation was. I grew up at a time when abortion came legal, 1973, Roe v. Wade. And at that time, less was understood about the child. Although I was against it. I was against abortion as a non-Christian. I didn't smoke pot, but I was okay with the legalization of marijuana in the 70s. I didn't gamble, but I was okay with the legalization of gambling. And that was as a non-Christian, but I was also knew in my heart there was something fully wicked and evil about the killing of a child in the womb. I mean, this is before DNA testing, ultrasounds that show the baby sucking its thumb, and all of that stuff. So I understood at the time that it was the beginning of a generic barbarian movement. Barbarian. And it's become increasingly barbarian, but this is the revelation, and this is what's changed. If I pulled out a whole bunch of other articles, I could show you that it is becoming increasingly looked upon as a righteous act, as a rite, as a ritual of sacrifice that's honorable and to be lauded and applauded. This is just one example. That it's not enough to try to defend wickedness. They've tried to flip it to where it's actually an honorable, not just accepted, but something that should be subsidized and applauded, and we should consider it fundamentally a spiritual act. Well, it is, but from the pit of hell. abortionists are from the pit of hell. The idea is from the pit of hell. When did Satan ever come to give life? Jesus came and said, I came to give life and more abundantly. How can you give life and have it be more abundant life when you're killing 62 million pieces or examples of life, or 62 million lives? How could it ever be a spiritual good thing when Jesus came to give life and that more abundantly, when all that's involved is death, reduction, destruction, minimization? It's not God, that's a devil. And the completion of the revelation is this. I have said numerous times this country is going to split, or we'll have a civil war, or both, or something. We can't continue on this path and stay together as a country, and I don't think we will. I pray for revival. Do I believe it's going to happen? Actually, I don't. I really don't. I'm sorry. I continue to pray for it. I want to be totally wrong in my sense on that. I see the people of God being, in some cases, miraculously extricated from tough circumstances. I also see the people of God also getting slaughtered, because that's the way it's been. That's what it talks about in the book of Revelation. We're going to have different end games to our particular lives. And I have always said that what happened to Israel is a forerunner, a precursor to what will happen in the United States if we walk down the same path. And this is what happened in Israel. Whether it culminated in Jezebel or in Manasseh, among the most wicked of the kings and queens of Israel, there came the time when the offering up of children, killing of children, became a ritual. It became a sacrifice. It became something that was lauded and applauded. It was became a religious duty to kill your children to the god Molech. This is what's happening in this country. So do I say we're closer to destruction than salvation as a country? Absolutely. Because we continue to march down a path that has in its end here the glorification of that which Satan has brought upon this country. Gone are the days of Bill and Hillary. Well, the abortion ought to be safe, legal, and rare. No, that's not the left. They couldn't give a rip about how safe or unsafe it is, because they fight against every safety regulation that any state imposes. They want it not just legal, they want it legal up to the point of birth. They're fine with a baby that has Down syndrome or something that's lying on a table that's 2 days old or 10 days old, pulling the tubes from it. They don't want it safe. And they certainly don't want it rare, because now it's become a religious rite to offer up your children. There's the end of the revelation, folks. Take it for what it's worth. Well, okay, I'm back to Donald Trump on something here, and I want to conclude with a little bit of a teaching today, if I could, that I think is really, really, truly relevant. I am so short of time to fit in everything that I wanted to fit in, so I'm editing as I go here. So Donald Trump supposedly said to Ukraine, investigate Joe Biden or you don't get U.S. aid. That was supposedly it. Now, if Joe Biden is involved in corruption, which he was, Hunter Biden is corrupt because Democrats are corrupt. Expect it. That's what they do. Voter fraud, 90% of it is by Democrats. Most everybody who's dead that votes Democrat. 70% of felons are Democrats. Okay. So Trump supposedly said to Ukraine, investigate Biden or you don't get U.S. aid. Would it not be a legitimate thing to withhold aid from a country that's noted for its corruption, unless you're convinced that the country roots out its corruption, including corruption with U.S. officials, which definitely, without question, happened to the loser, mindless Joe Biden and his ne'er-do-well son, Hunter Biden. But go to the state of Virginia, where the Democrats just took control of the state house. And immediately they want to go begin confiscation of guns, of all sorts of guns. And glad to say that in almost 80 counties in the state of Virginia, they've countered the legislation vowing to adopt Second Amendment sanctuaries and then to protect the citizens' right to carry guns by deputizing the citizens. Now, I don't want to say this is a great idea because I suggested this 6 years ago, but I did. I had several programs when I said, if they say that the Second Amendment is about the military, the militia, all that, then just have the governor go around and start appointing and naming people to the state militia. There you go. End of deal. Keep your guns. Move on. But the lawmakers have said there that they've warned the local police that if you do not enforce gun control measures, then you're going to face prosecution and even threats from the National Guard. So let me understand. So the Democrats, who love sanctuary cities and who have fought, now catch this. I want you to just grab onto the utter hypocrisy of the left here. The Democrats, who have sued Trump over and over and over again about withholding aid from states that are sanctuary states, are proposing in Virginia that the state withholds funds from Second Amendment sanctuary cities. See, they have complained and whined and whined and whined and sued about Trump withholding aid to sanctuary cities. And then they turn around and do the very same thing that they accuse others of. But this is typical of what Democrats do. As Mr. Gottlieb with Citizens Committee to Keep and Bear Arms, he said, quote, anti-gun Democrats can call this anything they want, but it equates to the kind of political blackmail that their Capitol Hill colleagues have accused Trump of committing. Apparently, strong-arm coercion is okay so long as it's a Democrat who's doing it. Ah, so true. How true it is. Not how sweet it is, like Jackie Gleason said, how true it is. Well, I was going to spend some time with the shooting in Pensacola. I have decided not to do that, even though it's obviously a hate crime. It's obviously... And then the shooting in New Jersey from the Black Hebrew Israelites, which is a militant black supremacist organization. No question about that. You read their stuff, they're black supremacists. Now some would say, well, now only whites can be supremacists. That's a bunch of crapola. These are black supremacists who don't like whites and particularly don't like white Jews. Shot them up, killed them. And so what do we have? We have the reluctance to call it a hate crime. Why is there this reluctance? They'll call it terrorism. And I must commend Donald Trump for trying to deal with the cartels in Mexico. And I heard from a fellow this week who spends much of his life in Mexico telling me stories that would just curl your hair. But for Trump to consider cartels as terrorist organizations, which indeed they are, because they're out to profit from and ruin our youth and the people of the United States. But the Pensacola shooting and the shooting in New Jersey, not covered much. Why? Because the Pensacola shooting was all Islamic whack jobs, and the New Jersey shooting was by all blacks killing all whites. Those don't get much press today. That's the way of the media. Don't go away. I have a teaching lesson for you after the break that you need to hear. We'll be right back.
Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter is a listener-supported program. Please know that 100% of your contribution goes to pay for airtime so that as many people as possible are able to hear that the Word of God has answers to every meaningful problem and issue in life. No one gets paid a salary at Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter. But in response to your support, we pledge to bring you the most timely and critical information you need to help make informed decisions in this age of media bias and a growing hostility to all things Christian. Your partnership makes you one of the watchmen on the wall with us, as described in the book of Ezekiel. Please send your support to Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. That's Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Thank you.
This is Rob Walter. We are back with Red Sky Radio here. In our final segment here, I want to share a portion of a message that I actually shared just last week with a group from Teen Challenge at the Christian Life Ranch in Arizona. And it applies today. And the reason it applies each and every day, and I know you hear from me about once a year on the importance of the uncompromised Word of God. But this came to mind almost on the fly here, if you will, earlier in this program, when I was talking about the answer to the global warming and that there was no man-made global warming of consequence, it's all covered in the Word of God. But if you don't know the Word of God, you aren't going to know that, and you are going to be swayed to and fro by every wind of doctrine and persuaded by those who hate Jesus. Bad, bad position. But I want to underscore the absolute importance that you fall in love again with God's Word if you have fallen out of love with it, and you just pore over the one book in life that really truly makes all the difference in life. Because I want you to just consider for a second the importance of the Word of God from four basic standpoints. Jesus was obviously smarter than we are, wiser than we are, but he didn't use his smartness or his wisdom to defeat Satan, did he? So why would we think that in our intelligence, in our education, in our riches, that we could do better than Jesus did and how, and the manner by which he was victorious? You know, the word is our sword. We need to know how to use it, and we need to know how to use it well. Or else you're going to leave some unnecessary blood around if you don't wield the sword properly. Hey, what's that ear doing over there? Okay, point number two, that we have to rely on the Word of God really should be encouraging. And why? Because the devil, Satan, will always find somebody who's smarter than we will, or richer and or richer than we are, more educated than we are, to use against us if we're going to rely on ourselves. Number three, similar to number one, had Jesus used anything other than the Word of God, how would there ever be any hope for us? So he doesn't use the Word of God. He just uses his divinity to, in some way, shape, or form to defeat Satan. And so what does he say to us? Oh, okay, Rob and Julie and Dan and Christine, you know what? You're on your own. You figure it out. I've done my part here. I beat him. Now it's up to you. No, he didn't do that. Why would he do that with a means by which we would not have access to, but instead gave us the means to be victorious in this life, to be able to separate the sheep ideas from the goat ideas in life, the man-made global warming from what the God's control over the climate, and right on down the line to all the issues of life? There's one last reason, though, that Satan really hates the Word of God. It's how we got saved. Romans 10, 9, and 10. So if you want to know who the ultimate and the most extreme Christophobe is, the ultimate and most extreme bibliophobe, it's the enemy of our souls. So don't rule out the Old Testament, because by any means, it's the New Testament covers relationships. The Old Testament really covers how we conduct ourselves in an ordered society regarding a whole host of issues. I mean, we ignored it at our peril, because the Word contains answers to every meaningful issue in life. I mean, it answers not only the questions that are easy, frankly, is my opinion, is about abortion or queer marriage and cross-dressing, But obviously, like I said, it answers issues about global warming, allegedly, immigration, the Second Amendment, all of those things. Like I said, the New Testament's about relationships primarily. The Old Testament is primarily about governance in a society, a country, our civil order, and all of those things. So if you decide not to read something, you are simply choosing that which you have decided to be ignorant about. Remember, as the best scientists of the 15th century, the best scientists, the best ones. So consider what the best ones are saying today about global warming, right? But as the best scientists of the 15th century said the earth was flat. But check out Columbus's diary where he said in Isaiah 40, verse 22, "It is he," meaning the Lord, "who sits above the circle of the earth." And circle was as in globe, a sphere. You could believe the best scientists of the day out of the global warming, or you can believe God's word. We said, no, that's not the way it is. It was the best doctors of the day at the time that said if you let the blood out of a sick person, you'd get rid of the disease. Right? That's how George Washington died. I think it was how he died, from bloodletting. Let enough blood out, you'll get rid of the disease. Now, technically, those doctors were true. It was true because when you let out so much blood, the person died. Technically, I guess you got rid of the disease, right? He was dead. But what does the word say? The life is in the blood. The life is in the blood. So you can get rid of bad blood, but it needs to be replaced with good blood. Best social science experts of today say capital punishment is not a deterrent to crime. But what does it say in Ecclesiastes 8, verse 11? It says, because the sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, the heart of man is fully set to do evil. So capital punishment is not a deterrent to crime today. Why? Because we don't have the capital punishment. If we had it quickly and in order, after a rightly judged trial with a minimum of two or three witnesses as required by Scripture, all the executions would be legitimate. We'd have much less crime. Trust me, it would be a major deterrent. People wanted to say, let's amend the Constitution to let Arnold Schwarzenegger run for president. I knew that was a lousy idea, even without knowing the word. But it was only a couple of days later, after praying, God, what do you say about changing the Constitution to let Arnold Schwarzenegger, who was born as an Austrian, run for president? I didn't like him anyway. He was better than the alternative, but not much. And God brought me right across Deuteronomy 17, verses 14 and 15. It says that you shall choose a king from among your brethren to rule over you. From among your brethren, you may not set a foreigner to rule over you. End quote. God answered that prayer. Proverbs 20:14 even tells you how people are going to act at your garage sale. It's too much, says the buyer. Then he boasts and brags when he walks away with what he bought. I stole it from this guy. You see, in 1 Corinthians 1:30, Jesus has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. We talk a lot about the righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. We don't talk much about the wisdom, do we? No, we don't. We don't talk about what God has given us in his word to know. Do you know that if you take the IQ of a moron, which is legally somewhere between 51 and I think 75% or 75, the numbers, that moron uses, and that's a legal term, it can get worse, an imbecile is lower than that, and an idiot is even lower. So if you want to call somebody a moron, you're actually kind of giving them a double upgrade. But beside that, the difference in brain capacity of a moron is they're using, and it's been a few years since I've read this, but I'm very close to it, about 13% of their brain capacity. Now go to the other end of the spectrum, the genius. What does the genius using capacity of his brain? 95, 90, 85%? No, it's between 15 and 16%. So the brain capacity between the moron at one end and the genius the other, between 13 and 16 or 17%, it's only 3 or 4%. So you might ask, what's the other 83% there for in our capacity? Well, I truly, truly believe that when we go to heaven, we'll be at 100%. But that other is ready to be filled in, at least in part, in this life, by revelation, by instruction by God in and from His Word, and by other means that He can teach us and lead us into certain things that are not directly related to the Word. But most of all, that's where our wisdom comes from. I say to people, I said, you know what? I disagree with you, sir, but here's the problem. You're a moron. And I say that to them. Because God is smart, that may, and you don't believe anything God says, it makes you a moron. Now, I was a moron too, until I just decided to gain much wisdom right away by agreeing with Jesus instead of agreeing with people like you. Now, you need to continue in that. If you want to grow in wisdom, if Jesus has become unto us wisdom, we can grow in that. Stick to your word, not to the news. Stick to your guns, your spiritual sword, and you will grow, you will prosper, you will thrive, and you will accomplish all that God has called you to accomplish in this life. God bless you all. Sit tall in the saddle, everyone. Remember, you ride for the brand of Jesus Christ. Yeah.